guardian angels, and patron saints, pray for us. It's good to be with you all this morning, particularly since I'm going to have to address a practical matter that's of importance to the whole parish, namely the announcement that was made here to the parish and to the school about a week and a half ago regarding the fact that the parish school will conclude its years of service at the end of this school year. So our parish school will be closing. And I am grateful that the readings today speak in the tone that they do, because I think it will help us to process what is a very difficult thing and to answer the question, what is God doing in the midst of all of this? But I think first, before we get to that, I think it's important for us to take time as a community to process and to grieve and to recognize what it is that is happening. And I want to begin by saying I want to extend total grace and understanding to our entire parish community because of all the ways that each of us responds to this, well, really bad news. And that all of the feelings that many of us are experiencing of distress, of confusion, of sadness, or anger, or abandonment, all of those feelings are justifiable, totally natural, and we have to accept that. And I accept that. Even when that's directed at me, I extend all grace and understanding, because this is an extremely difficult thing to go through. So in the midst of that, I want to also say I too share exactly those same feelings. I have exactly the same feelings of distress, confusion, anger, sadness. I experience all of those things. But I also understand that I've been grappling with those feelings for a much longer time, trying to address the very urgent needs that our school has been experiencing over these last years. And so I need to give everyone else time to do that as well. I hope that what I have to say today will help give us an opportunity to extend that grace to one another and to draw near to the Lord to find the healing and the comfort that we need in order to be able to move forward when that time comes. I'd like to just speak about how this decision was made, address some of the things that perhaps are circulating as rumors, and try to set the record straight. And then, relying on our scriptures and some of the teachings of our Holy Father, Pope Francis, to begin to discern what might be the next step. But I need to begin with as much of the story as I can provide. And I'd like to just say, I'm not going to go into as much detail as I probably could, but I will be available after Mass for anyone that would like to stay and have just a general conversation, a Q&A, if people need to vent, if people need to ask questions, whatever we feel the need to do, I'm certainly available here in church after Mass today and in the weeks and months to come, of course. So the statement that was released to our community said that the primary reason that our school is closing is that we no longer have the funds to continue. But as you probably suspect, those statements often don't capture the full picture. And it's a very legitimate question to ask, well, why? Why didn't we have the funds in order to be able to continue? And the story to that is very complex. In the last couple of years, 3-4 years, of course, the pandemic was significant in terms of how our school functioned. In some ways, it was a great blessing to our school community. We saw an uptick in enrollment, especially from families that were not interested in sending their kids to remote learning, and our enrollment really increased. That created stresses and problems of its own. We also received huge grants from the payroll protection plan rolled out by the presidential administration during that time, and we received close to $400,000 in federal grants that were given to us. And we're audited, of course, and went through that whole process, but that was an enormous padding to the very narrow margin that we were operating on for several years, even prior to the pandemic, spending down our savings each year. Now, those huge grants, multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars, were what allowed us to keep our heads above water. But when those grants ceased, we were aware that they were going to cease and were attempting to make provision in order to be able to continue to fundraise. Those efforts, the long and the short of it is those efforts failed this year. And I accept responsibility for the ways in which those failed. I'm not a great fundraiser. I wasn't able to persuade the people that may have been in a position to help us outside of our community to make those gifts. I did realize that very wealthy people do not become wealthy by giving lots of money away. So the likelihood of that is never high, but I take responsibility, and I suppose Alex does too, despite all of the things that we've done to try. The fact is, I want to just offer an image for what this feels like as a community. If you can imagine a boat in a river, a swiftly flowing river, and that boat's full of people and there's lots of oars, and they have to be rowing together in sync in order to make progress upstream against the current of the river. Because below them, towards which the river is flowing, is a great waterfall. If they go over, all will be lost. Well, that crew on that little ship, that little galley, rowing together, can be working together very well and very beautifully, right? Working in harmony, in unison, striving to keep that boat moving up against the current. But you can also imagine that as they see the current of the river increasing, as they draw nearer and nearer to that waterfall, they begin to ask, are we going to make it? It's the kind of situation where you're no more likely to be able to survive the situation if you jump ship, right? The best way to survive is to stay together, work hard, continue to row, continue to support one another. But as people begin to jump ship and panic, as items begin to break on the ship, soon the inevitable takes place. And that was precisely our situation. Working as hard as we could, rowing as hard as we could, we were swept over the falls. And in terms of the life of the school, that does mean all is lost. But it doesn't mean we're lost, because we're now down at the bottom of the falls, reassembling our crew and putting our boat back together. So many of you feel perhaps that, and this is perfectly justified, that this message came out of nowhere, that this was a shock or a surprise. And I completely understand why you would feel that way. But I hope you can also see from the perspective of a leader of a community, it was not helpful as we were working as hard as we could to say, maybe we won't make it. Because almost certainly what would have happened is everybody would have jumped ship. If you hear that as a member of a school, you start thinking we're going to close. You start looking for another place to send your children. Very naturally. Very reasonably. I would never blame anyone for doing that. In fact, in the homily that I gave back in October, articulating our situation, how we were out of money, and how if we didn't come together around God and in God, we would disperse. On Monday morning, the school office was flooded with school families who said, Father Nick said the school is closing. Well, that's not what I said. I said, we need to pull together. We need to row together. We need to work hard. We need to stay on track. We need to support each other, and we can make it if we do so. We got to fight, find ways to be creative in order to fund the mission of this school, work together, and continue what we're doing. And we did. We really did in many ways. And I can't talk about this past year without acknowledging how grateful I am and how proud I am of our committed families who did pull together, who did support one another, who did push and go the extra mile, carry out their commitments, and try to bring others along with them in order to continue this work. Our many benefactors, many of whom did respond to that call to give more generously. Our recurring benefactors, people who have been giving Christ the King for many years, and people who never knew about us until this last year and who started giving tens of thousands of dollars. Very grateful to all of those people. Those are amazing and generous blessings that we received in response to this call, this urgent call. That's so beautiful to see, and I'm so grateful. I'm grateful to the staff of the school, our front office, who fielded so many of those questions, Shelley, who's been the face of our school for decades, Lupita Luna, a liaison to our Hispanic community and who does so much for enrollment and our just hundreds of things, right, behind the scenes, Marita Bennett, who's taught here for many years, continues to serve the school. Our custodial staff all pitching in to work hard and keep our school looking beautiful. Of course, our faculty. Faculty have done a beautiful job this year. Our leader, Ms. Alex Weibel, fashioning this crew to work together in the midst of a crisis and doing really a beautiful job of it. Remaining focused on the most essential things, on prayer, on support for one another, and holding fast to the good, the great good that we're here to do, which is to form young souls in a worldview that Christ is indeed the King of reality and the King of our hearts. And of course, I am grateful to our students. As I told them at the all-school mass, I said, I have many regrets, but I do not regret a single minute that I've spent with you, scholars of Christ the King. I have been so pleased and so impressed and so grateful to be able to witness their spiritual growth, their love for the Lord, and I hope if you've not had a chance to do so that you will, before the end of the year, come to one of our all-school masses on Wednesday morning at 8:30 to pray with our students and to see how they sing the mass and how they pray. They know Jesus, okay? They really do. It was working. It still is working. But I hope it's clear that, as well, when the time came for us to make that decision after extensive consultation with the Archdiocese and the Superintendent's Office and our benefactors, both within and without, right, my priority as a leader was to get that information in front of the people that it directly affected as soon as possible, namely our students, our families, and our faculty. And I'm sorry that I wasn't able to prepare more of you or to give you notice or to make you aware of this possibility in a more direct way that would have softened the blow. So I'm sorry. I understand if you're frustrated by that, if you were taken aback or overwhelmed by that bomb dropping on you. It was a bomb. It was. But I hope you understand why my priority was to help the people it directly affected to understand it as directly and as soon as possible from our own mouths. Before I go on, I just want to address a few things that you may have heard, if you're aware of some of the chatter on social media or even within our own community, just a few things that we need to address. The first was a rumor that had been circulated that the Archbishop was unaware that any of this was even a possibility, but the superintendent's office was taken aback. Certainly is not the case. We've been working extensively with all the personnel of the Archdiocese, including the Archbishop. In fact, it was on Sunday night that I spoke with him and told him where we were at, and he and I both agreed that this was the decision that had to be made. Right? It's not something either of us are happy about. Neither of us took pleasure in any of these decisions. But realities being what they are, we had to do them. And so if you hear that rumor, please just know all of this was done with the full knowledge and cooperation of the Archdiocese. And I should say, The Archdiocese has been extremely generous in supporting our school over these past years, particularly this year, to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars. When we couldn't afford to pay our teachers back in October, right, we'd run out of money. The Archdiocese just gave us over $100,000 to make those payments. Right, just given, not a loan, just transferred it right into our account and allowed us to pay those bills. So gifts like that and others like it have been constant throughout these past years. And I don't want to give anyone the impression that the Archdiocese sat back and watched us fail without helping or reaching out. Nothing could be further from the truth. Obviously, that kind of an arrangement is unsustainable. There's over 40 schools in the Archdiocese, 27 of them receiving those enormous funding grants from the Catholic Education Foundation, right? And those kinds of infusions of cash from the Archdiocese are just not possible to continue long term. You may hear another rumor that once the school closes, the parish is inevitably next. Or maybe this was always the plan. Father Nick always wanted to see the school close and has been working towards it all along. These are not true. My plan all along has been to try to staunch the bleeding that has been slowly weakening our school over the years with a transformation, a recovery. Mrs. Fithy and I, 4 years ago, both saw that something was needed at Christ the King, and so our move to the classical liberal arts model was an attempt to try to bring our school into alignment with its beautiful mission and our own tradition of Catholic education. And we believe that that vision would motivate more families to commit more deeply to the work of Catholic education and motivate donors from outside our community to support us. Right? That was a gamble. It was a risk that we took. But the plan was never to close the school, because who needs one anyway? It was always to make our community stronger. And we took a gamble, and we're now in the situation where it's played out. I'm sad to say. Nor is there a plan to close the parish. I'll speak about this more later, but that is not inevitable. And I'll just say that is not anyone's decision really, but our own. We decide if our parish is viable or not. And I'll say more about that later, just as we were the ones who really were the ones to decide if the school is viable or not. I just want to say, as these rumors continue to fly, let's be very, very careful not to spread information that we don't know to be true. Right? All kinds of errors and things as exist out there. We're all used to hearing stuff that isn't true. But as soon as we start to repeat those things and hand them on, we become responsible for them. And that does harm to our community. It does harm to Christ the King. Let's not harm Christ the King. We're in a weakened condition. We're battered and bruised. Let's take care to hold this precious reality that means so much to so many of us as gently as we possibly can, including your pastor and your principal and your school. To treat one another with dignity, with understanding, compassion, and respect. And to let the truth reign as much as it can. Because the question that we have to face is, what is God doing right now? And those are the kinds of conversations that we can be having with one another that will profit and build up our community. What do you see God doing? That's the fruit of prayer and reflection, meditation, listening. This is the question that we need to be asking constantly in these coming weeks and months. There's so many things that could be said. Our scriptures speak into this question. Right? Unless a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it remains just a grain of wheat. Can that speak into our situation? Is this what God is doing? In another passage of scripture, not in today's, but in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus says, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? By the Lord has this been done, and it is marvelous in our eyes." I think these scriptures point at a deeper lie that is being spoken into our community by our true enemy. Our real enemy isn't the people who have left our parish, or St. Pat's, or the Archbishop, or the Superintendent, or Father Nick. Our real enemy is the one who wants to set us against each other and watch this beautiful community, this instance of the body of Christ, disperse. And the lie that's at the heart of his attack on us right now that I hear and that I myself have to struggle to resist is that all we have left is our faith. And if that's all you've got, boy, are you in trouble. Let's just put that out here as a lie that needs to be rejected. If all you've got left is Jesus, boy, are you in trouble. What, you don't have a school to recruit people for your parish? Guess what? It's over. That's a lie. It's easy to believe that lie, and I completely understand why people might believe it. I myself struggle with that lie. But can we take another view of this, a God-driven view that will allow us to see that there may be a grace here for us and that our parish has an opportunity to deepen its reliance on Christ alone, that we each as individuals and we as an entire parish actually have the opportunity to set our sights on living for Christ rather than for ourselves. That's the reason we're here. That's the reason this parish exists, is to foster an interior conversion in every single one of you, that you might live for Christ alone. That's his call to you, Marty and Alicia. That's his call to you, Marilyn. That's his call to you, Charles. That's his call to you, Jim, and Liliana, and Remsen, and Bill. Every single one of you are being called to live into Christ. And that we as a community have the ability to go on mission again. I want to share with you some words from Pope Francis in his encyclical Evangelii Gaudium, which he writes about the changes that have to happen in parishes in order to become missionaries again. I dream of a missionary option, the Pope said. A missionary impulse that's capable of transforming everything so that the church's ways of doing things can be channeled for the evangelization of today's world rather than her self-preservation. The renewal of structures that's demanded by this conversion can only be understood in this light as part of an effort to make them more mission-oriented, to make ordinary activity on every level of the church more inclusive, more open, to inspire in the workers of the church a more constant desire to go out and so elicit a response from all those that Jesus summons to friendship with himself. In other words, we got to go on mission again. We can't worry about preserving what we have while sinners don't know the Lord. It's happening all around us. People are coming to know Jesus each and every day. I see it happening here. I see it happening at Blessed Sacrament, hearing the confessions of our candidates preparing for confirmation, right? They're realizing, like, my life is a mess. I've been living in wretchedness up to this point, and now I know Jesus. I know him, and I want to live for him. And I want to live for him in this community, in this family. That's what I want to be a part of, right, they say. And I'll be quite frank, the work of keeping that school running has been the number one focus, almost to the exclusion of everything else. Can we take this opportunity in the life of our parish to stop and listen to what those of us here actually need so that we as a community can focus on helping you to flourish in your relationship with Christ and helping this parish to flourish in its mission to bring Jesus to souls and to bring souls to Jesus. I think we can. That's going to take some time. And so we're going to dedicate chances for us to sit and listen, to hear from you, not just the families with school-age children, but everyone that's a part of this community. Yes, we want to support our families with school-age children to hand their faith on. We want to find ways to help them do that, given our resources. But also the couples who are struggling in their marriage with widows or widowers, people going through a divorce or went through a divorce or a death and who are grieving a loss, right? The young, the elderly, and everybody in between. Can we serve them better and help them flourish? And does this present an opportunity for us to do so now? I believe it does. But the goal has to be a renewal of our mission. We have the chance now to honestly and prayerfully reflect on the following questions. Have we fallen into this kind of self-preservation instinct? Are we in touch with the missionary impulse of the church to go out and to preach Jesus and to draw the people right here at our front door into communion with him? Even if we don't know how to go about starting that, are we in touch with the desire to do that? We need it. We feel it in ourselves to go. Pope Francis encourages Catholics throughout the world to find the power in our parish communities. He says the parish is not an outdated institution. Precisely because it possesses great flexibility, it can assume very different contours depending on the openness and the missionary creativity of the pastor and the community. Pastoral ministry in a missionary tone abandons the complacent attitude that says we have always done it this way. I invite everyone to be bold and creative in this task of rethinking the goals and the structures, the styles and the methods of the mission of evangelization in their communities. I believe that's possible for us, but we have to begin with the question of faith to ourselves. Do we believe Jesus when he says, "When I am lifted up, I will draw everyone to myself"? And that if we put Christ at the center of this community and at the center of all of our relationships, that Christ the King can become a center of divine life for this neighborhood, with or without a school. Those questions, I hope, will continue to rattle around in your mind, in your own prayer, in your reflection. I hope it will be a time not of discouragement, but of hope. But I understand these things take time. And I'll just reiterate, I extend all grace and all the time that we need in order to be able to process these things. But let's do so, right, with this word of hope from the scriptures today. You have my sympathy. You have my understanding. You have my attention and my ear. And you have my goodwill. Let's work together to bring Christ the King to something beautiful and to allow the Lord to draw us to himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.